Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
So, Ed, my question is this. Get the popcorn, right? This is my tradition here. Between the during the news.
Right.
And then, because I don't want that popcorn to go to waste out there.
No, we don't waste food here.
No, we use ministry money.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people won't give now that they know this, right? But we buy a little popcorn, spend a few dollars.
Right.
For the staff. And then I wash my hands with this hand sanitizer that's 100% alcohol almost, right?
And then you eat the popcorn.
Can I drive? Could I drive now? Because
if you
start
eating
bit,
the hand sanitizer, you may have a problem.
I just wonder, I got so much on my hand.
Yeah.
I hand sanitized, but I'm getting a little woozy, is what I'm saying. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to today's Issues on American Family Radio. We're talking about a very serious topic here, and that is what's going on inside the evangelical church in terms of heretical teachings and sins of omission, because a lot of our brothers and sisters don't want to touch the, quote, hot topics of the day because they don't want to be criticized or it's not loving, those kinds of things. Fred Jackson stayed over with us, and our guest is, because Fred's written on this and is very concerned about what's going on in particular, his denomination, Southern Baptist Convention. Dr. Frank Wright is with us from Fort Lauderdale. Frank is the president and CEO of D. James Kennedy Ministries. Abe, I asked Abe to stay over too because, Abe, and we talked about Andy Stanley saying that we need to unhitch ourselves, that is Christians, from the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Unhinge or unhitch?
Unhitch.
Unhitch. Okay. I don't care what you meant by that. That's a terrible thing to say. That's a quote.
Right, yeah.
Okay. That's a quote. So if you want to say, well, here's what I meant by that. Well, you need to, if that's what you meant and you didn't mean it like we're interpreting it, you need to retract that unhitch, okay? That's on you. Now, you wanted to comment on that.
Yeah, and Dr. Wright, thank you for staying over. It's glad to hear your voice.
Good to hear you too, Abe.
I just wanted to basically ask, my question is, what do you believe is the motivation? Because we have clear scripture that indicates the big H word, that it is heretical to so-called unhitch from the Old Testament. When you have people like in Acts 8, the Ethiopian eunuch, who was reading literally in the book of Isaiah, where Philip was able to aid him, and the Bible explicitly states that from there, in the book of Isaiah, that the Ethiopian, that Philip preached the entire gospel about Jesus Christ exclusively from the Old Testament. Obviously, there's no New Testament then. Then you have the on the road to Emmaus, where you have Jesus himself in resurrected form walking with Cleopas and his companion, preaching the gospel about himself exclusively from the Old Testament. So when you have such this is not like upper level Christianity. This is basic biblical literacy. When we have that as the reality, what is motivating this continental drift, if you will, or dare I say, rebellion against the clear teaching of Scripture?
Well, I certainly agree with you completely. The Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation speak of Jesus and the foreshadowings in the Old Testament of Christ, some more explicit than others, were all fulfilled in the New Testament, and some remain to be fulfilled with the return of Christ. I'd like to give Andy Stanley, cut him a little slack on this. I do believe that his motivation is to get more people to come to church, people that he argues are turned off by the Old Testament teachings, specifically about marriage and human sexuality and those kinds of things. And he would like to see more people come to church so that they could hear the gospel and get saved. And he's got a very limited view of what the gospel is, however. Mm-hmm. He has apparently no conception of the fact that God has revealed his nature and his character, his purposes and his will in the Old Testament principally. And that when Jesus came speaking and teaching, every word that he spoke was an amplification of something already spoken in the Old Testament. The exception might be the new command I give you, a new covenant in my blood. Mm-hmm. Everything else, but even that was foretold by the prophet as well. So I'm going to say that Andy probably thinks he's doing a good thing. People that make that are making heretical mistakes may generally think they're doing a good thing. I don't put this in the category of heresy, but I think Bill Hybels, when he launched the seeker-friendly movement all those years ago, thought he was doing a good thing. Let's just make this place so friendly to people from the culture that they can come in, but they'll hear the gospel preached each week. Of course, 40 years later, Dr. Hybels said, I'm not sure that we've really taken people deeper in their discipleship, that they're just superficial Christians, that the seeker-friendly thing really hasn't worked like we hoped it would. So in that case, I don't think that's in any way heretical, except to the extent that it leaves out so much Scripture. But in Andy's case, it's a refutation of the validity of the Old Testament. It's saying, when he says, and by the way, guys, you should watch these videos, these YouTube videos of Andy saying this. He hasn't been misquoted. He's passionately saying that the Old Testament has nothing whatsoever to say about the behavior of any Christian in the New Testament. It is so phenomenally over the boundaries that it has to be spoken of as heresy.
Dr. Wright, would it be an oversimplification to say, to assess what you're saying is, these are leaders of these evangelical denominations now that are trying to get the world to like us, so we want to sound more like the world under the false belief that somehow we'll draw them in and then we'll spring the gospel on them and everything that the Bible teaches?
I think that's well said. I mean, it's as well said as any other way to put it. The issue here, though, is one of biblical fidelity, particularly for pastors. It was St. Augustine who set forth basically a threefold standard for Christian pastors and teachers, in which he said their role is to discover the truth in the contents of the Scripture, to teach the truth from the Scriptures, and defend scriptural truth when it's attacked. You know, you basically see Andy Stanley and his cohorts failing on at least two of these three, and in some cases all three of these standards that I think are 100% biblical, to discover the truth, teach the truth, and defend the truth. And so I still think this falls at the doorstep of the silent shepherds who are afraid to say anything controversial. It might just cause trouble in my own church. And then that leads to essentially this idea of, well, how else can we get people in? Let's just make the place so accepting of cultural norms that the church will look exactly like the culture and sound exactly like the culture. And then, as you said, somehow there's going to be some benefit. We're going to spring the gospel on them when they least expect it, and they're going to get saved. Not exactly a biblical stratagem for proclaiming the truth of the gospel.
Last question.
Yeah, our guest is Dr. Frank Wright, who is president and chief executive officer of Dr. D. James Kennedy Ministries. By the way, folks, we have sat on the Andy Stanley issue specifically, but Dr. Wright talks about a number of other concerns he has amongst evangelical groups. The article that kind of triggered this interview has been posted on our Facebook page. You can read that in its entirety there. Dr. Wright, last question. I have tons of questions I could ask. But
we'll have him back on.
Yeah. I do want to just ask one question on behalf of one of our Facebook followers who have been listening. This is from Denise. I would like to know if Dr. Wright listened to the whole sermon when Andy Stanley said this. Did he listen to Dr. Brown's interview of Andy Stanley about the statement he made? And did Dr. Wright contact Andy Stanley to discuss this? This is kind of a frequent question when someone calls out another Christian leader. Did you actually reach out to this person to discuss it?
Well, in answer to the third, I did not reach out to Andy Stanley directly, but let's not make excuses here. Everything in my article about Andy Stanley and everything I've said since then appears in direct quotation in countless other stories and articles about him. And I did watch all of the YouTube videos, especially the part about unhitching the Old Testament. When someone like Andy Stanley in a public ministry capacity makes a statement on air, on YouTube, in print, and is never, he may have in some other interview tried to qualify that, unless you retract what you've said, mm-hmm. then we have to take you at your word. Otherwise, we just have to assume you're someone who can tell the truth one day and not the truth the next day. So I take Andy Stanley at his word that he said all of those things, and I've talked to reporters that interviewed him as well. So
yeah.
This
is not a Matthew 18 deal here.
Nope.
On this, I appreciate what the Facebook question,
and I knew the answer with what
right.
Dr. Wright would
right.
say.
And Matthew 18 is real. We need to talk to our brothers or confront our brothers, but this is not going private. This is a public teaching on for everybody to see that Dr. Stanley, I'm assuming he's a doctor, maybe he isn't, had, and that's what we're talking about, what he said.
We have every right to critique it because it's out there and it is influencing people. And if we don't take a stand, then that influence can continue.
Go ahead, Frank.
Exactly. Exactly. He's leading people astray. And if we really want to love our neighbor, we better make sure our neighbor understands the truth, not some heretical view.
I tell you what you got going on here, and this is a generalization, but I think it's true, and it's not. There's so much to talk about here. What's going on at the seminary level?
Right.
And so forth. The younger crowd younger pastors, you know, who want to avoid talking about topics that are in the scripture that are applicable to modern culture, which go counterculture. But what I think is going on here to a large extent is a lot of people who would call themselves evangelicals, I don't know about a lot, maybe, but a significant, they see the way that other Christians are ostracized by the culture and are condemned when you take stands on subjects like the LGBT cause.
Right.
And, of course, the Bible teaches clearly that homosexuality, in many places it teaches this, is sin. And so what does that mean, and how do we apply that? Well, they would say, our brothers and sisters, they would put their hands over their face and start to cower, saying, I don't want to talk about that because that's viewed as hateful, and we're trying to reach people for Jesus.
Right.
And I'm not like these Delmer Gantries. And I will say this too. This is unfair, but this is how it happens. People like Dr. Wright, like us and others, we are mischaracterized by the liberal media and other organizations like the SPLC. We're mischaracterized on purpose, right? And so we're talked about and lied about on purpose. Well, our brothers and sisters, I'll keep calling them that, who are want to run away from us as far as they can go so they're not identified with us, they buy into the mischaracterization or the false characterization by our enemies.
Right.
And then they say, I don't want to be portrayed like that. So I'll give you an example. Dr. Russell Moore, while we're naming names.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm sure he's a fine man, a good family man from everything I've read. He's with the
ERLC,
Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention. I remember when, and I may have shared this story before, when he first got that job from Dr. Richard Land. Dr. Richard Land was a longtime friend of my dad's in our ministry. We worked together on many moral and social and ethical issues. Well, I just called I didn't know Dr. Moore. I just called him up, his office up, to congratulate him on getting the new position. And his secretary said, well, I'll pass a message along and have him call you back. Well, I waited like a week. No call back. So I called back up there again to Nashville and said, I would like to speak to Dr. Moore. Just want to congratulate him on his new position. We've always worked with the ERLC and look forward to, on issues that we share, we can work together again. Never called me back. So.
We reached out three or four times.
So I figured out what was happening here.
Right.
Okay, he didn't want to call me back because he didn't want to have any association with Tim Wildman, or the American Family Association, the American Family Radio, even though we had a long history of working with the ERLC and the Southern Baptist Convention on life issues and so forth. Right. So, and then we later learned that Dr. Moore wanted to take the SBC in a totally different direction on these issues, which is fine. You know, that's what he wants to do. But he had bought in, too, I think, to a false characterization of us without giving me even an opportunity to discuss it or talk to him or answer his concerns, because obviously we share the Bible right. together and Christianity, and I'm sure stand together on most moral issues. But you see what I'm saying here?
Right.
But so that goes on a lot. That what I've just described goes on a lot. You said we need to send Dr. Moore flowers, or what did you say?
I said a fruit basket.
A fruit basket.
Yeah, I was being facetious.
Ed said send him a fruit basket and then see if he doesn't call and thank us for it.
This was after he publicly castigated religious Christian talk radio.
He did.
He said he was driving home, I guess from Nashville, and came through Memphis and North Mississippi on his way home, and he said, if that's what Christian talk radio is about, I'd hate it too. Was talking about the world hating Christian talk radio. So I said, and we try to reach out on that. We said we want to talk to him and let's have a discussion. And he would not. He wouldn't even come on this show after his publicist scheduled him. When he had released a new book, we said, yeah, we'll have Dr. Moore on. Well, the publicist called back and after a week after scheduling him and said he doesn't have time. I said to our producer, I said, tell Dr. Moore's publicist we will do it anytime he's available. And she said, well, he doesn't have time. And that's when I said, maybe we should send him a fruit basket.
Yeah,
because a fruit basket,
yeah, fruit basket
can really make inroads in relationships.
That's what I'm saying, Ed. You're soft, man.
I am. I'm tender.
You're tender.
I'm a tender guy.
Hey, Frank, thanks so much for your time. We will revisit this topic again soon. It's a very important one. There's so much more to cover because there's a lot of well-established denominations have trouble in this area now and trouble looming.
Yes.
And especially the pastors, the young pastors that are coming up in the seminaries and so forth. So, what's going on there with their theology. Thank you so much, Frank. Appreciate it, brother.
Hey, thanks, Tim. Great to be with you. Thanks, Abe. Thanks, Fred.
Okay, Dr. Frank Wright is joining us.
Now, see, I'm a tender guy, but he didn't thank me, Dr. Wright.
Well, Fred and Ed is one.
Oh,
so
I'm not sending Dr. Wright a fruit basket.
I think he doesn't want to be associated with
him. I can't blame him.
Huh?
I can't blame the guy. He's very articulate. We're going to have him back on.
Steve.
Dr. Wright's
we will.
Did
Steve.
A great job.
Hey, morning.
Steve Jordahl.
How you doing?
Go, Steve.
You got 7 minutes, Steve.
7 minutes. I only got 12 stories, so I think we're good. hey, I want to start with this. I kind of follow the media a lot here, and I got to tell you, I'm really impressed. CNN is putting together a panel. It's an expert coronavirus panel, the name of the panel. It's a kind of a town hall, coronavirus facts and fears. And on the panel is going to be CDC Director Richard Besser, former HHS Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, and the renowned, globally renowned virologist Greta Thunberg.
Greta Thunberg?
Yep.
How dare you, Steve?
How dare you?
how dare you?
Yeah, so tune in for that if you want to know the latest on all the scientific information about coronavirus.
What expertise does she have? She's,
I don't know.
16 years old?
It's CNN.
Oh, my
it's
goodness.
CNN. I mean, seriously, you can't make this stuff up.
She's probably going to say that this coronavirus is a product of climate change.
I'm sure that's what she's going to be saying. Everything is the product of climate change.
Hey. Send her a fruit basket.
I will. Hey, I also wanted to play this for you guys. Again, another media thing. Brian Stelter, the CNN anchor, he's really upset. And I'm going to let him tell you why he's upset. And so you're going to hear him and then some commentary from him afterwards. This is Cut 5.
so disappointing to look at what we're seeing from right-wing media these days, where there's such an obsession with the deep state and these revelations about the Russia probe. Latest on the Robert Mueller Russia investigation. Mueller investigation. The Russia investigation. Trump's Russia ties. And Robert Mueller. The real Russia story. Russia probe. The ongoing Russia probe. Russia probe. The Russia investigation. But Mueller and the Russia probe. Russia synergies. They wonder if Russia has compromising information
we get
on
it.
The president.
Yeah, yeah. He's very concerned about right-wing media, you know, being obsessed with this thing.
This is just the absolute worst. With the left-wing media now starting to say, you know, I've heard people say, listen, you know, with all this talk about, can we get focused on people dying here with coronavirus? Right. What's the obsession with Russia after 3 years of leftist obsession about Russia?
Yes.
Yeah. It's remarkable.
Who was it? Who was it yesterday we were talking about, just inside the building, was talking about deflecting?
Joe Biden.
Yes, that's
Joe
right.
Joe Biden. Yeah, he was being interviewed by George Stephanopoulos, and Stephanopoulos asked him what did he know about the Flynn investigation before it all took place, and he literally said he knew nothing about the investigation. Then Stephanopoulos followed up and said, well, their reports, it wasn't a report, it's actual documents submitted in court, that show that you, Mr. Biden, were in the January 5th meeting in the Oval Office where President Obama revealed that he knew about Michael Flynn's phones being tapped, a part of the conversation.
They were briefed.
They were briefed on it. He said, investigation? Oh, I thought you meant prosecution. But that's just Trump. He's just trying to deflect from the coronavirus. We need to focus on what's before us.
Yes.
Not what's behind us. I was like, whoa.
Nothing to see.
Then he said, honey, what's before us? They're asking me now. I don't know how to answer this.
So Joe Biden was talking about Trump deflecting.
While
Biden is deflecting from questions about the Flynn investigation. The corruption.
Sure Stephanopoulos called him out on that.
Ugh.
Right? Steve?
I think it was pretty much the end of the conversation. And I thought you made a really good point in your show last night or the night before, when you said that there's a reason that this question was asked by the mainstream media. What was that?
Yeah, the reason why it was asked is because of the public revelations. They can no longer deny it as just being merely conspiratorial. But Stephanopoulos only asked the question not to get to the truth, just so he can say he's asked it and given Joe Biden an opportunity to sweep it under the rug. He's not interested in actually probing the depths of the answers to those questions.
He, in fact, I watched this. I think he was trying to help Joe Biden out, because Joe Biden obviously either was blatantly lying in answering the first question, or he was having a Biden moment.
Yep.
And George Stephanopoulos was like, now, Joe, now you do remember you were there.
Yes.
I know. It's like leading a person.
Yeah, and literally set it up like he's lifting up the rug to allow Joe Biden to get the broom out to sweep it under, because there were no additional follow-up questions
and answered.
Yep.
Man. 1 minute, Steve.
All right. Just this is to end here. You know, we think of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez as very, like, really radically left-wing, and she is. But she was looking for the endorsement of a progressive union-backed party called the Working Families Party. She needed some signatures to get on their ballot. She didn't need 150 or 1,500 signatures. She needed 15 signatures to get on the ballot. She got 13, and it was no longer be on their ballot. Only 13 people signed up.
So you're telling me there's some organization in America that AOC is considered a conservative?
Too conservative.
Compromise. She's a compromiser.
Yeah.
Compromising with the bourgeoisie.
That's her.
Compromising with the bourgeoisie is AOC.
Oh.
AOC.
I got the first line of my rap album right there. Hey, what do you think? You think I'm onto something right there? Or maybe keep my day job.
No comment.
And Tim, I heard you ask for it, so tomorrow I will have coronavirus bumper music for you tomorrow.
Thank you. Yes. You okay, yes. Steve. Our thanks to Dr. Wright, to Fred Jackson, Ed, Abe, Brent. I'm Tim. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.